We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon. Once again, it's Take Time for Jesus. We're glad to be coming into your homes by the way of radio or the computer, however you're receiving us. Pray that God will richly bless you. And our hope is to lift up that name of Jesus, because it ain't about me or about somebody else. Men before us have gone on, they made their mark, but my friend, today it's all about Jesus, because he's the one that came into this world to die for sinners such as we. And I just praise him today and thank him for that grace that was shed there on Calvary, whereby that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. The law couldn't save us, but we are saved by grace through faith in him that died for us. And not only did he die for us, but he also arose from the dead. Now, most of the people are celebrating this coming up week for Easter, as they call it, and going on with a lot of other stuff that which I don't agree with, but that's not for me. But nevertheless, Bible says that if we walk in the light as he is the light, we won't walk in darkness. So when the Lord showed me the things in the light, then I want to walk in the light. Because when you walk in the darkness, you're subject to stumble and fall and not be totally sure-footed. So I just praise God today to know that he is light, and in him there is no darkness. I don't want darkness in the parts of this world and the way that some people carry on and do their thing in this world to be a part of my life. I want to be a part that are set aside for God to worship him in spirit and in truth and give praise and honor unto the Lord God Almighty. For he is the one that saved me. As Paul said, he didn't get it from man, and man didn't give it to him, but he got it by revelation. He wasn't taught it by some school teacher of some kind or another, by some other man that taught him what he knowed, and that was it. But he was taught out into the wilderness when he went into the wilderness there from Damascus, and when he was converted and he was got the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I thank God today to know that there is still a place in God's kingdom for them that will obey him and use his word with dignity and with the place of wherein, spiritually speaking, whereby that we're not looking at the carnal things of this world, but I'm looking far beyond whatever the carnality of some people wants to do in their way of worshiping the Lord's resurrection. He's alive, and he's alive forevermore. So as we pray one for another, that God will bless you and keep you and everything. We got one more broadcast that's coming on after this one, and we'll be moving on. And we just pray that God will bless you and have blessed you through our ministry, because our intention was to lift up the name of Jesus and not ourselves anyway, because I can't do nothing but do what God tells me to do. And I imagine some of you is probably saying, well, I'm glad he's off, but that's all right. God bless you too. But anyway, we're glad that we had the opportunity to come into those homes and automobiles, however you're receiving us. And we just pray that God will bless you and keep you is our prayer. And time goes on and things change. So we just thank God for everything that he has blessed us with, because without him, I can do nothing. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your grace and for that precious blood that paid our sin debt. We thank you for the many times you've met our every need and kept us by that saving grace. We praise you and we thank you, Father, for that name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. We praise you and we thank you to know who our Father is, and our blessed hope in Christ Jesus, Christ in us, the hope of glory, that we know that whom our Savior is, of when I need strength, I look to him and not lean upon the arm of the government or the arm of flesh, you might say, but I call upon the name of the Lord and he's forever present. So I just praise you, Lord, today and thank you for being there and loving me when I was unlovable. Help me to love as you have loved them that are unlovable and would persecute us or anyway, but pray for them that you would deal with the situations in this world according to your will, and things will be according to what you would have it to be. And we'll give you the praise and the glory. Bless those that have blessed us. Those that wrote to us, we pray, God, that you would bless them tremendously and help with the broadcast financially. We pray for those that you will bless them and keep them by your saving grace and help them and multiply them, that their branches will bring forth much fruit and praise unto thee and for thy name's sake. And we'll be careful to praise you for these and all things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.
Well, I just thank the Lord this afternoon again for being here. We will be, you'll be able to find us on the internet. So if you'll write to us, you'll email us, you can still get us. We're not going to be quiet with the message that we feel like Lord has laid on our hearts in these last days to get out there. But you just write to us or, like I said, email us, and we'll let you know where we are. But we won't promote other websites on this station here. But this afternoon, and I've prayed about this for some time, and I had this information probably since about 2004, 2005, somewhere around there. But the Lord has brought it out to me today, during this week. If people right now are getting ready to have a big celebration, they're going to have parades, they're going to have all kinds of pagan things and everything, but my Bible says that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And my people are peculiar people. Now, if you're not a peculiar people, and you're still doing these things that the world's doing, and if you're mixing your Christianity with the world's pagan ways, you're still part of the world. Bible says, come out of the world and be ye separate. Jesus said, you're in the world, but not of the world. So this afternoon, the Lord's laid it on my heart to get this out. Do you know the real origin of Easter? Millions assume that Easter, one of the world's major religious holidays, is found in the Bible. But is it? Have you ever looked into Easter's origins and customs and compared them with the Bible? Easter's one of the most popular religious celebrations in the world, but is it biblical? The word Easter appears only once in the King James Version of the Bible, and not at all in most others. In the one place it does appear, the King James translators mistranslated the word for Passover as Easter. Notice that in Acts 12 and 4, and when King Herod Agrippa I had apprehended him, the Apostle Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarterings of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. The Greek word translated Easter here is Pasha. Properly translated everywhere else in the Bible as Passover. Referring to this mistranslation, Adams Clark commentary on the Bible says that perhaps there never was a more unhappy, not to say absurd, translation than that is in our text. And I have the Messianic Jewish Bible and Acts 12 and 4. After seizing him, he put him in prison, handing him over to four squads with four soldiers each to guard him. He was intending to bring them before the people after Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being offered fervently to God by Messiah's community. Think about these facts for a minute. Easter is such a major religious holiday, yet nowhere in the Bible, not in the book of Acts, which covers several decades of the history of the early church, nor in any other epistles of the New Testament written over a span of 30 to 40 years after Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, do we find the apostles or early Christians celebrating anything like Easter. The Gospels themselves appear to have been written from about a decade after Christ's death and resurrection to perhaps as much as 60 years later in the case of John's Gospel, yet nowhere do we find a hint of anything remotely resembling an Easter celebration. Easter does not come from the original Bible. The term Easter is not of Christian origin. It's another form, Astarte. One of the titles of the goddess, the Queen of Heaven, the festival of Passover held by Christians in post-apostolic times was a continuation of the Jewish feast. That's a lot of information packed into one paragraph, but Easter is nothing more than a pagan holiday. Easter isn't a Christian or directly biblical term, but comes from a form of the name Astarte, a Chaldean Babylonian goddess known as the Queen of Heaven. She's mentioned by the title in Jeremiah and referred to in 1 Kings by the Hebrew form of her name, Ashtaroth. So Easter is found in the Bible as part of the pagan religion God condemns. And if you want to look
praise
it up,
the Lord. Thank you.
It's in Jeremiah 44, 17 to 19.
Praise
it talks
the Lord.
About
thank
Solomon
you.
Went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of Zidonian, and Solomon that did that which was not right in God's sight. There's so much about that. And if you would like to, you can write to me or email me, and I'll send it to you and let you know where you can find it. Easter was very different from the Old Testament Passover, or the Passover the New Testament is understood and practiced by the early church based on the teachings of Jesus Christ. Again, Easter is a pagan holiday. And you wonder where some of these things came from. Eggs and rabbits became associated with Easter because they were powerful symbols of fertility. Little children are usually told that the Easter eggs are brought by the Easter bunny, and that is a lie. Rabbits are part of pre-Christian fertility symbolism because of their reputation to produce rapidly. What these sources tell us is that human beings replaced the symbolism of the biblical Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And Easter eggs and Easter rabbits, pagan symbols of fertility. These symbols demean the truth of Christ's death and resurrection. And I have here where Easter eggs, which play a great part in this day's celebration, were common in all heathen nations. The fable of the egg declares that an egg of wondrous size fell from heaven into the river Euphrates. The fish rolled it to the bank where doves settled upon it and hatched it, and out came Astarte, or Ishtar, the goddess of Easter. Easter, Christmas, Lady Day, Lent, and other Babylonian festivals are all borrowed from this religion and were all observed centuries before Christ even came on the scene. None of them have any relationship to Christ or Christianity. Now, like I said, if you would like to, for me to send y'all this stuff, you're more than welcome. Our address is Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida, 336829. I get all berhoodled. Pennsylvania, it's befuddled. But you can email us at ecompton31@yahoo.com. And also, we're on Facebook, ecompton31@gmail.com. And like I said, we're continuing on. We're going to get this message out as far as we can go. We've already heard from Australia on our internet and everything, and Barbados and a lot of those people. We need to get this message out, and people quit celebrating all these pagan holidays. You look just like, you know, people say, well, I'm as good as you are. Is your light shining out? Or do people look at you and say, hey, I'm as good as they are, and they're supposed to be a Christian? Our light is supposed to shine out, that Christ sees there's something different in us. We're the light of the world. Is your light hidden on a bush, or is it up on a hill?
Weekday afternoons may never be the same. Mike Huckabee and Dave Ramsey, back to back, right here on Inspiration Radio, WTIS, Tampa.
Praise the Lord. Amen. The first time that Passover was ever initiated, or we came into existence, is when the children of Israel celebrated it, but it wasn't by any other means, but they taken, as the Lord told Moses, to take and put the blood of a lamb on the doorpost and the lintel of the house, and for the children of Israel to go in and stay inside, covered with the blood on the door. My friend, today that blood played a significant deal in with their salvation, because without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. We know that the blood of animals couldn't save us. It just pushed your sins back. It was an offering there. But the first time that Passover was initiated was when they took that lamb from there and kept it for 14 days. And on the 14th day, they slaughtered it and took the blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel of their dwelling. And they went in and eat the Passover, which was unleavened bread, and they ate it with bitter herbs, and they roasted that lamb with dry, just with roasted, without anything on it, and they ate it. And that was the first time that Passover was initiated, and it had nothing to do with anything pertaining to the things that pagan worship. That was when it was kept by the Jews, and it was supposed to be kept by that way, and they celebrate it today. Many people have gotten into the place of traditions and all these things of worship, ways of worshiping, like the Lord's birthday. There's no scripture for that time there. Jesus only told us to remember when he said that we could take the Lord's Supper, as you might say, that would be the Passover, and take the unleavened bread and a little cup of juice or wine, if you want to be that way, and drink it. But you celebrate it as the wine represents his blood, or the juice, grape juice. The juice of the vine represents his blood, and that unleavened bread represents the body that was broken for you. And no place in the world is thou found in the scriptures that teaches that anything with it pertaining to the way that people got about to worship Easter or the Lord's birthday. He was born into this world by a Virgin Mary, according to the scriptures. There's no place in the Bible that said he kept his birthday, but the thing of it is, they worship his birthday and they give presents to everybody. Why not just give him praise and honor if you want to? But he wasn't born on the day of the 25th day of December. Common sense would tell you it's too cold out there. The shepherds had their flocks in the barns, if you will say that. But now, I want you to understand, my friend, if that's the way you want to do, that's your business. But God has showed me a different thing from the scriptures that does not pertain to these things, and it's a known fact that it's a pagan holidays. Santa Claus does not have anything to do with worshiping God, but yet and still they put him on the same pedestal with God. He knows everything. He knows you when you're sleeping and all that, and you're teaching your children that. Only God knows you from inside to out and outside to in. He's the only one that knows all about you. He knows it all from the time beginning to the end and all in between. Santa Claus is a myth or a lie, if you want to call it that. That's what I call it. Easter was something that they come up with in a pagan worship. Rabbit had nothing to do with it. The only thing that was spoke about is something about the death of Jesus was a rooster crowed and let Peter know that he had denied him three times. As the Lord said, Peter said, no, I'll go with you. I'll go to even to death. And the Lord told him, he said, the cock won't crow until you have denied me thrice, three times. And when that time that Peter was there, and John records there that he denied him the third time, that cock crowed, and the Lord looked at Peter. Peter went out and wept bitterly and repented. Have you repented today for some of your insurrections you've had against the things that were in that is different from what the scripture says that they are? Many churches today is out in these holidays and everything, and they bring them right in the sanctuary, so on and so forth, or have them on the place where they go in to worship God in spirit and in truth, or so they say. My friend, today it's time that we begin to be out from among the world and be separated by the Spirit of God. When God told Noah, when God told Moses to take the blood as a token in the 13th verse in the 12th chapter, when this beginning and the year changing, the Passover institution, the rite of Passover, and these things, in the 13th verse he said, and the blood shall be for you as a token upon the house where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not come near or destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. On that particular night of the Passover, it was instituted by the people of the Jewish religion, or them that God had told, and the Hebrew nation, when he sent forth the death angel and smite all of the firstborn of Egypt. All of them, even to the children and the animals. They were the firstborn of the house of Egypt, died that night, my friend. I want you to know that God's going to send a place one of these days, and these people is going to have to stand and suffer the consequences for their pagan way of worshiping and claim that they're being a Christian, a real true born again Christian, or to walk in the light as he is the light. For if you walk in the darkness of these kind of things and everything, you're going to stumble somewhere down the road, and be it known to you, my friend, you cannot walk in darkness without stumbling. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But when he left this world, he brought us back to the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to come into us to lead and guide us into all truth. So if you're not walking in the light of the gospel and following in after the truth, and the Holy Ghost you're supposed to have is not, you're not letting it lead you into the truth of all things, then my friend, you need to go back to the repent. Jesus made John recorded in that Jesus told him, he's in the chapter in Revelations, he said, you have left your first love. You didn't lose it, but you left it. It's time we turn back into the place that we're in, that we can know the truth, and the truth will set us free. It's time we realize that these pagan worshipers is a part of the instigation of the enemy of your soul. It will not get you into the kingdom of God. It will destroy you in the long run and will bring you into the darkness of hell. It's time we walk in the light and follow Jesus Christ by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and then you won't be confounded in these things of the world. You'll be transformed from it. That's what the Spirit of God is all for. It's to bring us to the place that we're in. We transform from the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. My friend, a lot of people claim that they'll go back in. I'm a Christian. I'm going back down there to the bars, and I'm going to get all them people that's in there. I'm going to get them into the church and get them saved. Well, as I said last week, I believe it was, that you can take a sow out of the water and you can wash her and everything, but you turn her loose, you go right back to the water in the mud. As a dog will turn to his own vomit, and that's the way those people do with that. They're going to go back down there and win them. Honey, if you want to win them out of the bars and everything, be like I was myself. I didn't go back into the place, and my friends had asked me, Earl, why don't you do these and these things like you used to? I said, Jesus made a difference in my life. I don't go back in those places anymore. I don't go associate with those things anymore. Now, if you want to know my situation, and why I don't do them things, because God made a difference in my life. He changed me when I let him come into my life. He changed me, and I don't walk in those places no more. I don't go down to the bars and the places where all I used to go to. But there's come a change in my life. Jesus made the difference. Glory to God. I'm proud to know that he made a difference in my life. You remember the when Paul was on the road to Damascus, Paul had authority. Papers, in other words, like warrants for the arrest of the Christian people, them that called upon the name of the Lord. Now, I never had no such as that, but nevertheless, Paul was on the road to Damascus to go find and bind and bring back to Jerusalem there and put them in jail or whatever else. He had the authority from the synagogues and from them that Jesus and John called vipers. I want you to know that he went there to do that. My friend, he was walking in the light of them that had authority. Going by the law can save him. But Paul, when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, he was converted, and he come to find out that what he was doing wasn't right. So he went, and therefore, when he got to Damascus, they led him by the hand. He was blind. But when Ananias came and prayed for him, the scales fell from his eyes, and Paul seen clearly of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He didn't go to some seminar school or out and learn from somebody else, but he went into the wilderness out in Arabia there and was there for about 3 years or so. And he learned, and he was taught by revelation by Jesus Christ, and showed him there at many things that he was going to suffer for his name's sake. My friend, today they'll persecute you if you stand for the truth. If you stand for that which is right and not have a part of it, they'll persecute you, even to some of them in the so-called churches and everything. But praise be unto God, Jesus said that they'll persecute you for my name's sake. But remember this, they persecuted him first. They ain't going to do no more to you than they done to him. He's made a way of escape for them that have tribulations, even though it may be sickness unto death. It may be thereforth, but death will end all of your suffering, my friend. But it'll just begin for some people. But them that are born again and in Christ Jesus, death is a door from this life into the kingdom of God, and where there is no suffering. The children of Israel suffered much under the hand of Pharaoh, but God brought them out. It had taken the killing all of the firstborn to Pharaoh to get his attention, but then he pursued after them. And after he got into the Red Sea that God had opened for the children of Israel to go across, he got there, was pursuing after him, and the sea covered him up and drowned the army of Pharaoh. My friend, today God will move if you'll let him. He'll keep you in a time of trouble. He'll bring peace into your heart that only he can bring. The world can't give you the peace that God can give to you. He'll bring you to the place that we're in that you can have peace with him. It surpasses all of our understanding, but you're going to have to walk in the light as he is the light. You're going to have to come out from among the world and be you therefore separated, and love you even to your enemies if you got any. You got to love them that won't love you. You got to pray for them that persecute you. You got to look to the Lord Jesus Christ for leadership and not to the arm of flesh. Oh, my friend, a lot of people depending upon the government. Well, the government can only do what it can do, but my friend, when it comes to salvation, it can't do one iota for you. It only comes through Jesus Christ and him only, through grace in him, through faith in the finished works of Calvary is the only place you're going to have salvation. Or the government may send you a check every month and your Social Security, or some of them that ain't even paid a dime in is getting it, and so on and so forth. But I want you to know that that's as far as they can go. Your salvation don't come through that. It's just a way for monetary things. And it's a blessing. I'll admit that. It's a blessing. When you're old and decrepit and everything, you can't do nothing else. Social Security kicks in and it gives you, you can get by. It don't let you live all that great, but it'll get by. It'll put a bean on your table most time, but if everything goes according to the way the little boy in the White House wants to do it, you'd be lucky to have beans on your table before too long. But it's all a part of God's plan, my friend. He's got this all worked out to worry in that he wants you to glorify him and lift him up. Persecution is going to come in this world. Tribulation is going to come, but only them that love the Lord is going to be able to rise above all this kind of stuff and have that inheritance wherein that Jesus said that, God told Abraham back that through his seed that all nations would be blessed. And honey, I want you to know that it don't make no difference with God whether you're Jew or Greek or Gentile. We all become one in Christ and we have the fellowship with him in glory. We all become one new man, even though we're two different nations. But maybe when God, he don't have any respect of person, but he will judge them in the way they live their life. He will separate the chaff from the wheat. He will bring to time that judgment of those that think they're all right and may not be, and they not keeping the commandments like God would have us to do. We all flounder and we flunder and everything, but God shows you something in the scripture, my friend. That's why I encourage you to read your Bible. It ain't what I say or another man says, but it's what thus saith the Lord. God will not lead you astray. If you read the word, you'll find out that these pagan worshipers and these things that are wrong and not clean in God's sight, the abomination to him, where sin, adultery, and drunkenness and all these things, murder, so on and so forth like that, you'll read that God has no part of that. He says he come out from among the world and be you therefore separated, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. You cannot have it your way or both ways. Like Burger King, you said you can have it their way. You go and tell them what do you want on your burger, and they'll fix it like that. But it's not that way with salvation. God said it's his way or the highway.
Repent.
He said repent. Repent. Be godly sorry for your sins. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. And walk in the light as he is the light. Once he's forgave you, my friend, he don't do a halfway job of it. But if you walk in darkness today and you try to walk in the light tomorrow, you'll find it's very difficult. You cannot live your life as the world lives it and claim to be a Christian because some of those people that you're trying to inspire or impress that you're such a Christian, and you're doing the same thing they're doing, and you haven't changed anything, they're going to say, well, why you want to get me into the church? You're doing the same thing I'm doing. You're down in the bars and this and that thing. My friend, that ain't the way to do. You got to come out from among the world. You got to walk in a different light. Let them see that there's been a change about you. Let them know that there's something different about you. And when they ask the question, why do you not do this that you used to? You can say, because Jesus is a part of my life. And he brought me out from all that darkness of sin. He made the difference. God in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory, made the difference in my life. I don't have no desire for those things anymore. I'm looking to Jesus, not looking to the material things of this world. I'm looking beyond that. These material things in this world, my friend, are going to vanish one day. Only what's done for Christ is going to stand. We can't walk in the spirit and walk in the flesh at the same time. Although you're in the flesh, but you're supposed to be walking in the spirit by faith. Not having your bound up into the things of this world, not mixing and mingling with the things of this world. God don't want you halfway. He wants you all the way, and if he can't get you all, he ain't gonna have none of you.
Right.
That's just the way he is. It's all or nothing. He said he died for all. He paid the price for all. He didn't go halfway. He done it all when he was there on the cross, to them, even to them that was piercing his side, them that was nailing him to the cross, them that was doing all these things to him. He looked out over them. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Are you doing the same thing today by denying him? Peter denied him 3 times, but he said he'd go with him even to death. But he denied him 3 times. But that rooster crowed and spoke to Peter's heart. My friend, is a rooster crowing at you at this time? Is somebody telling you to come out from among the world and be you therefore separated? Are you feeling something other about that in your heart, that these things, that a way some people does things in their way of keeping with these traditions and these pagan worshipers and everything, as you feel something other ain't right about it, believe me, it ain't right. Santa Claus is a lie and the devil brought him out. Or Easter rabbit is a rabbit and they don't lay eggs. It's a lie out of hell, and the devil's the father of it, and you follow in that way, and he's going to be your father too. Plain and simple. You got to repent and come out from among the world and be you therefore separated. You cannot worship God, and the real God, and paganism all at the same time. God wants you all. He don't want you halfway. He's not got provisions for that kind of stuff. He said that he created a new heaven and earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Back in those days, they went up on the hills and the mountaintops, and they built altars unto their false gods and their priests and all those things. My friend, read your Bible and find out what is and what ain't, what pleases God and what displeases God. Let me encourage you, read your word. Don't take somebody else's word for it that he get up there and read one verse of scripture and then he goes to many other books that he's read down through the line and he mixes that in with it. Stick with the word of God. Them men that has come this way, they have made their mark, and a lot of them has gone on. But God's word's going to stand when all of those is gone on by the wayside.
Right.
The word of God's going to be forever. Because the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, how are you going to get rid of that when God is omnipotent? He's self-reliant. He don't need you and I, but we need him desperately. Because without him, we have no hope. Without him, salvation is not for us. If Jesus only died and was not resurrected, then our faith is in vain. But thanks be unto God, he died for us. He gave his life that we could have life. And he was put in a tomb and he resurrected. And the egg and the rabbit had nothing in the world to do with it. It was in the mind of God from the foundation of the world that Jesus would come and die on the cross for you and I, and therefore to bring the plan of salvation through the grace of God on Jesus Christ that hung on the tree, became a curse for you, took our sin, nailed him to the cross. Nothing else, no one else done it for it. He done it by himself, but he wants you to enjoy a part of it. But the only way we're going to have an inheritance into the kingdom of God is by repenting, believing, and trusting upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have sold your birthright out for a pagan holiday or for a bowl of soup, as Esau did. A lot of people are suffering and hurting out there today because they're trying to hold on to God with one hand and walk in the world with both feet. You can't do it, my friend. There's no gray area. There's no middle way. It's all for God or you're all for the devil. It's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. The devil is an adversary to Christian life. He came into this world, and when he, as I've often said, when he got Jesus on the cross, he was probably having a big party in hell saying, "We got him now, we got him down." But somebody said that one of the devils heard a footstep in the hallways of hell, and they said, "Shut the door and don't let him in." But Jesus came in there and took the keys from death and hell from him. And my friend, he set free them that was captive by sin there and under the law. He brought him forth. Them that believed and trusted in him and called upon him, he brought him forth.
Thank you, Lord.
Do you call upon him today? Do you believe in him? Are you going to go down there to the place of worship, have your big egg hunt and have your big feast and everything celebrated like a pagan day? Like you do on Christmas, have your tree and all the decorations, your gold and your silver and everything? We need to separate ourselves from these kind of things. We need to have Christian life. We got to come to the Lord and allow him to be the Lord of our life. We got to repent from the things that is a worldly thing and a part of the world, and got to be separated from it in order for God to receive us. He's not going to take you into his kingdom hanging with all kinds of sin and things on you. He said that he wanted you to repent. In other words, quit doing what you've been doing. Walk in the light as he is the light. Walk in the place of wherein that he would have you to walk. Be led by the Spirit and not by your own carnal thinking. A lot of people won't read the Bible because it's a sharp two-edged sword. It cuts them away from them things. It cuts asunder, separates the mire from the bone, as the word says. It separates you from your sins, and some people don't want to be separated from those things until it comes time to lay down on the bed and they look in death in the face, or death is hovering over them. Then they want everybody in the church to pray for them, and they want God to be merciful to them and restore them back to life again and to where they can go do it all over again, most likely. My friend, I've seen a lot of people come in and want prayer. Oh, I'm sick, and I need God to heal me. If you go and repent, and if God sees fit to heal you, he will, but you got to get your soul healed first.
Go and sin no more.
Mm-hmm. He said that we should go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Mm-hmm. I've told people that, and they'd ask me to pray for them, and I'd tell them what God had spoken in his word and had wrote. Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Honey, there's a lot of things out there in this world today that people has, and some of them worse than others. Some of them is incurable. Some of them because God could cure it, but because of the unbelief, unfaithful to God because they want to do it their way. God will not move in your unbelief or your ways that you want him to heal you to where you can go on and do your partying. He's not going to do it, my friend. Death will come to us all. When we come into this world and was born of a woman, as the book tells us there, when Job said a man born of a woman, in this world, born of a woman, his troubles are many like the sparks fly upward. So we got troubles in this world. The only way that you're going to get out of the troubles of this world is when you're hid in Christ. You're still going to have some problems even if you're a good Christian. But the only way you're going to end all the troubles is when Jesus comes and takes us out of this old present world, as rotten as it is, but yet and still it's the best place as I know of, and as far as the world is concerned, the United States is still the best place. But nevertheless, Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I go and prepare a place. I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I believe the place is already prepared. He's just waiting on you, waiting on them that few that is yet to come. He's waiting on them to say, Lord, I'm right. I'm wrong, and you're right. I need you. You can make it without me, but I need you. I can't go no further. I need you. Come and save me, Lord. I repent. Lord, help me to live the Christian life that you would have. Make me the vessel that you want me to be. I'm just clay, and you're the potter. You make me a vessel to honor the potter. Oh, my friend, today God is calling. He's wooing you by his Spirit. He's asking you to come. Every time you hear a preacher preaching to you the Word of God and wooing you and telling you about the blessings of God and telling you to repent, it's God speaking through the man to your heart. Come unto me, and all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's only one peace that peace surpasses all of our understanding. It's only come from God himself. Only place that we're going to come to in God eternal place is in the place that he said he would prepare for us. And if he's got it already prepared, I believe he's fixing to break the eastern skies before too much longer and put an end to all of this kind of stuff. And he's going to receive them that have called upon his name, repented, and asked him to forgive them of their sins, and they walked away from the sinful of this life and walking in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why, I encourage you to read your word. See what it says. Don't leave it up to somebody else to read it for you and tell you what it says. Read it yourself. Listen to what it has to say to you. Ask God to give you the understanding of the written letter, that you put it, hide it deep into the womb of your heart, that you may not sin against him. Let him direct you by his Spirit into the path that he would have you to walk in, and he'll bring you forth from this old sinful natured man that you were born into this world with, and he'll bring you and make a new man out of you, create in you a clean heart, wash you with the word, with the watering of the word. He'll take that red blood that is red crimson and wash you in your black sins, and he'll make you whiter than the snow. My friend, it's only God can do that. But you got to realize that the branch will not bear fruit unless it's connected to the root. The root beareth the branch. I've been out there and up there in upstate New York and seen them orchards out there, the grape orchards, and they cut them back when they all dead and gone. They quit bearing, they trim them back. But my friend, it's still got life in it because it's still hooked to the root. And then in the spring of the year, when it starts putting forth its leaves and the harvest comes, my friend, it's because it's still the fruit comes from the root. The blood, the sap from that root keeps it fertile and keeps it alive. Jesus is the root that we need to come to. We need to get hooked up to him, to where the Spirit of God would flow through us and bring forth life out of death. We were all dead in our trespasses, but through Jesus Christ and His way of doing things, and by the Spirit of the living God, through grace, through faith in Him, He'll bring life and vitalize you and bring you forth. He'll trim off that old dead branch and bring forth the new branch, and He'll bring forth the fruits of the Spirit will come forth in your life. That's what we need to bear forth, and let the world see Christ in us, the hope of glory, not our old Adam nature, but the nature of Jesus Christ, and let His Spirit of truth come forth out of He said on the day of feast of the feast there, the last feast there, He stood up there and He told them, He said, anybody's athirst, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. My friend, He is the waters of life. He'll give you life. He didn't come for you to die. Hell wasn't prepared for you. It was prepared for the devil and his angels long before He put man on the face of the earth. But He came that you could have life. The devil came seeking that he could devour and destroy, seeking to kill. But Jesus came and died for us and give us life eternal. So what's it going to be? Are you going to continue to walk in the darkness of this world and in the habitations of it and doing the things that which is paganism, following after a false religion or false prophets and everything and teaching you all this stuff? Are you going to read your word and find out what God has to say about these things, come out from the one that the world and realize that you need Him? It wasn't that we loved Him, but He loved us first. He came into this world to die for a sinner such as we. He came to give His life that we could have life. My friend, as I heard the preacher say this morning, you take a metamorphosis there of a worm will go into to a cocoon, and that cocoon separates it out, and when it comes forth again, it comes forth as a beautiful butterfly. You and I are not worms, my friend, but we can be changed. We won't turn into a butterfly, but we were worms probably in sin, but Jesus can make a difference in our life, and He can change us to where we can be something pretty or beautiful. It said, how beautiful are the feet of them that upon the hill that preaches the gospel. If you believe in Jesus Christ, He's the only one that can do anything for you, my friend. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can forgive you of your sin. No man this side of eternity, no man in this world born of a woman has got the authority to forgive you of your sins. Only Jesus Christ was born of a woman, true enough, but He came out of the bosom of the Father. The Spirit of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. He came for the purpose to die for yours and my miserable soul, which was in sin and had need of a Savior. And He come and provided salvation through His suffering on the cross of Calvary and His death and burial and resurrection. And He's alive forevermore. And He is still waiting upon you and I. Have you talked to Him today? Have you had a communication with Him today? I have.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, and I bless His name because He's blessed me. Oh, and I feel good in my soul. Irregardless of what somebody else might say about me, as long as Jesus says, it's all right. I'm okay. A lot of people says that they call you all kinds of things in this world. And one fellow said, well, they may do that, but when Jesus called, you can call me gone.
Yeah.
Praise God. I'm preparing my life to enter into the kingdom of God. By the help and the grace of God, I'll make it. But I can't make it without Him. I got to do what He would have me to do in order to be where He would want me to be and inherit eternal life through Him, because He was only one that can give it to me through the grace of God. The law came by Moses, but grace came from Jesus Christ. And it's grace by grace we're saved, because the law couldn't save us. The blood of animals couldn't cleanse us, but that precious blood of Jesus cleansed us and washed us from our darkness of sin and bring us into the light, the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, wherein that we can have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came to die on Calvary's cross that we don't have to die and spend eternity in hell. He prepared a place for us. He said he would come back again and receive us. If we prepared our hearts for him and allow him to dwell in us, that's going to be the difference, to break the gravitation of this world, that we can meet him in the clouds of glory. I'm just glad to know that today that salvation is free, but it's a gift of God. It won't cost you a dime. Just repent. Father God, we thank you for your love and your mercy and for that precious blood of Jesus and for the Holy Ghost that abideth within us. We thank you for all things. We give you praise in all things. Bless those that are here. Help them, O God, that we can all come to the unity of the Spirit, giving you praise and honor. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you the glory and the praise for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31 at yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, my God, my Savior.